Welcome to Get Sleepy, the podcast where we listen, we relax, and we get sleepy. I'm your host, Thomas. The way this podcast works is very simple. Just pick an episode, press play, and get comfortable in bed. We'll take a moment to relax, and then I or one of my friends will read you a bedtime story that's designed to gently grasp your attention and guide you to sleep. And remember, the more you tune in, the more effective the podcast will be at putting you to sleep. So be sure to listen on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss a good night's rest. You can find us on social media, the details are in the show notes, and there you can get involved in voting on future episodes. Let us know which stories you've been enjoying the most. And whilst you're there, we'd also love it if you'd share the podcast with your friends too. It all goes such a long way to helping us out, and of course to letting other people know about us, who may need a little help getting a good night's sleep themselves. And as always, if you'd like to reach out to me and the team directly, you can do so via our website at getsleepy.com. Now tonight's story will be narrated by the wonderful voice of Ellen. She's new to Get Sleepy, but I think you're going to love her. She'll be bringing a bit of a different accent for us, and something more of an ASMR type of style. So I do hope you enjoy listening, and that you drift off into a lovely, peaceful night's rest. And tonight's story is another from the Library of Time, like the one I read to you about the Wari. But this time we'll travel back to one of the most legendary ancient civilizations in Africa, Great Zimbabwe. And these particular stories from the Library of Time, I'm sure you'd agree, strike a nice balance of being historical and interesting, but also ultra-relaxing and sleep-inducing. We live in a time now where the world is very advanced with technology, science, architecture, and all sorts of other elements of life. But every civilization tends to have the same core obstacles to overcome. And I guess the same hopes and ambitions of creating a society that they could thrive in. So I think it's interesting to compare the various methods to achieve these goals that we've seen throughout history. But please don't worry if you fall asleep whilst you listen. That's exactly what we want you to do, and it will be testimony to us doing our job well. And of course, if you want to listen to anything you haven't heard, you can always replay the episode as you just go about your daily life at home in the coming days. So now, let's make sure we're relaxed and ready for our story. As you lay in bed, I hope you're feeling comfortable and cozy. You can give yourself permission now to let any lingering thoughts wait until tomorrow. Just turn your attention inward as you focus on my voice. Feel the rise and fall of your chest and belly as you breathe. And try to just gradually slow your breathing down, which in turn will help the rest of your body to settle as well. Now, as you breathe in, I want you to say to yourself, "I am." And as you breathe out, say to yourself, "Calm. I am calm." Repeat that 2 times along with the rhythm of your breath. And then say to yourself, "I am peaceful." I am peaceful. Keep these repetitions going in your own time. And next, say to yourself, I am grateful. Repeat that 2 or 3 times as well. And finally, say to yourself, I am sleepy. Let those positive mantras stick with you as you listen along to our story and drift off into a restorative slumber. Tonight, in search of a dreamy adventure, on a quiet evening, we find ourselves at the entrance to an old, long-forgotten library. Only the sound of crickets fills the air as you approach the towering stone building.
You see a set of enormous double doors before you. The finely polished mahogany seems more ancient than time itself. From top to bottom, the door panels are covered in carvings of human exploration and endeavor. You reach out and run your fingers along the aged wood, tracing the smooth edges carved centuries ago. They depict a path leading to a dense jungle. Eventually, the jungle thins out and falls away to make room for grass-covered pastures where herd animals graze freely. On the next panel, protective walls encircle a vast ancient city. Among rounded homes, artisans shape wood, metal, ivory, and soapstone into miniature works of art. You turn your gaze towards the tarnished brass handle of the door. With a gentle push, the door swings open slowly, emitting a soft creak. You step forward into the grand foyer of a marvelous library. The floor is a checkerboard of shiny green and white marble tiles. A chandelier hangs above, somewhere between you and the lofty vaulted ceiling. A million bits of crystal twinkle in the candlelight. At the other side of the foyer, between two curving staircases, you see a sign. The tap of your feet echoes softly as you step closer to read the shimmering gold script. Welcome to the Library of Time. Only the most curious souls can find their way here. Each and every book connects to a different time and place. While in the past, you will neither be seen nor heard. You cannot change the past after all. You can only learn from it. And learn you shall. Intrigued, you turn and enter the library. Bookshelves stretch out in rows for as far as you can see. The shelves are made of the same dark mahogany as the library doors. You step between two aisles. The shelves are taller than you, but every book is within reach. Polished white marble columns stand at intervals between each row. You pass several columns before stopping. As you scan the shelf, one book catches your eye. The binding has a vivid leopard print with gold brackets at the corners. You slide the book down from the shelf. Embedded in the center of the cover is a soapstone medallion carved with the image of a bird of prey. Below the medallion is a date, 1209. You take the book under one arm and walk towards a cozy sitting area nearby. You find a comfortable armchair upholstered with a cool jungle green fabric. Next to it is a side table carved from a single piece of wood. The legs are shaped like braided vine, holding the tabletop aloft. A simple lamp with a green shade sits on top. You sit in a chair and close your eyes, feeling the warmth of the light from the reading lamp. You take a deep breath, enjoying the smell of old books, and sink down into the chair. You open your eyes and run your fingers over the medallion, the cover of the book. The spine of the book creaks as you open it and begin reading. In modern-day Zimbabwe, lay the ruins of the medieval kingdom of Zimbabwe. The ruins of this once dominant kingdom stretch out over a vast and varied landscape in southern Africa. The capital city, known as Great Zimbabwe, was built and inhabited between the 9th and 16th centuries. Great Zimbabwe pushed the boundaries of human civilization at the time. Its tall granite walls jutted up out of the dense African jungle. The capital hosted a population of over 18,000 people. Those living within its walls were master craftsmen, creating all manner of goods like sculpture, pottery, jewelry, and ornaments. Their work was a major part of the Indian Ocean trade network. You look up from the book for a moment to ponder over what you have read, before laying your head back and closing your eyes. As you slowly breathe in and out and an image of this past world comes to mind. You relax deeper into the soft green chair and feel yourself begin to float silently through the streams of time. The smell of fruit and damp earth wafts past your nose. A warm, humid breeze swirls around you. You hear a chorus of bird songs and the moo of cattle. You open your eyes to find yourself at the edge of a dense, vibrant jungle. In the distance, you see a herder driving his cattle. As your eyes follow the direction of his herd, you see it. A stone city shining in the sun. The city sprawls from the top of a prominent hill down into a shallow valley. Tall, thick walls of granite curve around and through the city, giving it the appearance of a maze. Brightly colored round houses with thatched roofs dot the countryside and form clusters within the city walls. This is Great Zimbabwe, the capital of the thriving Kingdom of Zimbabwe. The word Zimbabwe translates roughly to houses of stone, a fitting name for this granite fortress. There seems to be much activity near the entrance of the city. Carts, pack animals, and people are being loaded with goods. The herder is driving his animals toward a large area at the city's edge where livestock are bought and sold. With the jungle at your back, you follow a well-worn path leading into the city. The weather is perfect. The sky is clear, and a breeze blowing across the plateau keeps the heat and humidity at bay. The beauty of pristine countryside lines both sides of the path. From a distance, the round city itself looks like an ornament, like a medallion resting upon the breast of the jungle. As you get closer to the city, you notice tendrils of wispy smoke rising above the walls. Cooking fires, pottery kilns, and smelting furnaces are daily at work within Great Zimbabwe. Africa's abundant natural resources, coupled with the people's industriousness and ingenuity, gave birth to a manufacturing powerhouse. You step off the path to allow a cart drawn by oxen to pass by. Two muscular bulls pass you, a wooden yoke resting around their necks. The cart is simple, two wheels and a wooden platform, piled with goods tied down beneath heavy clothes. On top of the goods sits a merchant holding the reins. He wears a brightly colored robe of purple with green and yellow stripes. On his head is a green flat-topped hat with a band of black and gold triangles circling the cap. He doesn't seem to notice you at all. you recall the words on the sign in the Library of Time. While in the past, you will neither be seen nor heard. You step back onto the path as the dust clears. You don't know who the merchant is or where he has come from, but he is a link in a chain that stretches from Europe to East Asia. The path widens out into a bustling commons just before reaching the towering walls of the city. Here, merchants have set up shop. A crowd is busy inspecting trade goods and bartering. You step into the crowd to get a better look at the items for sale. Though the people cannot see you, they somehow avoid bumping into you. The diversity here comes as a surprise initially. The world is already becoming a global melting pot. The Shona people, native to this region, are the most numerous though, and easy to pick out in the crowd. The women wear brightly colored wraps, and the men dress in animal skins. One man has a blanket laid out on the ground, covered in soapstone figurines. Some depict birds of prey and other animals known to this area. Other portray people embracing, playing music, or standing in thoughtful poses. The elegant rounded figures, with their sweeping curves and polished surfaces, are true works of art. Perhaps one of them will be found in an archaeological dig hundreds of years from now, you wonder. Nearby, a traveling merchant is displaying Chinese porcelain and Persian painted bowls. Another has a cart loaded with colored glasses from the Middle East and glass beads from China. A Shona man strikes a deal, trading some gold beads and bracelets for a crate of blue glazed porcelain cups. You see copper ingots, iron gongs, bronze spearheads, jewelry, ivory, gold, cattle, glass, art, and pottery of every sort. No doubt, the people of Great Zimbabwe grew fabulously rich from supplying the Indian Ocean trade network. As you get closer to the city, you see a family with a slightly different enterprise, feeding hungry merchants. Several cooking pots hang over small fires. A Shona woman and her daughters prepare food to go. The mother wears a beaded cloak over her shoulder and a beaded headband across her forehead, symbols of her being married. Her daughters are grown but unmarried. They wear wraps around their bodies, wear bare shoulders. They each have on a beaded apron, a symbol of their womanhood. The mother pours the contents of one pot out into a large bowl. It is a thick dumpling-like food known as satsa. She scoops up a handful, rolls it into a ball, and passes it to her daughter on a banana leaf. Her daughter adds a spoonful of minced beef and a helping of vegetable balls. She hands the medieval street food to a man in exchange for a few copper coins. You take a moment to soak in the sights and smells around you. You are reminded that life has always been as vibrant and dynamic as it is in your day. Perhaps you aren't so different from the people of Great Zimbabwe. Continuing on past this marketplace, you pause near the city walls. They tower 3.5 stories over your head. The perfectly cut blocks of granite are stacked on top of each other without mortar. At the base, the walls are nearly 20 feet thick and slowly taper to the top. These monolithic barriers curve around the city in sections. Some individual walls are nearly 300 meters long. One wall known as the Great Enclosure is made up of over 100,000 tons of granite. You can't help but wonder how these massive rocks were shaped and put in place. Along the top of the west wall are conical stone towers used as lookout posts. Guards continually patrol the wall tops. Two guards stand on watching at either side of the main entrance to the city. They hold wooden clubs and oblong shields covered in rawhide, dressed in skirts made of anus skins with beaded jewelry around their necks. The two men stand perfectly still, eyes forward, ever vigilant. The entrance to the city is surprisingly small. Two people would have difficulty passing through it side by side. You walk past the guards, unnoticed, and slip through the city gate. A long corridor lies beyond the entrance. You stretch your arms out and easily touch both sides of the passage at the same time, feeling the touch of smooth granite bricks. You squeeze yourself against one wall as a woman approaches. She passes by with just a few inches to spare. As you remember that nobody can see or hear you in the past, you continue on along the path for a few minutes. Rounding the final bend, you see a large commons area with several circular houses. People are bustling around, busy sculpting, carving, and cooking. Gold is being smelted down nearby. You watch as men stroke the furnace and skim the unwanted imperfections out of the molten metal. They scoop liquid gold out and pour it into clay molds of various shapes and sizes. These will become bracelets, pendants, beads, and all manner of shimmering status symbols. You move closer to get a better look at one of the round houses. They are made of dagger a mixture of gravel and clay and have thatched roofs. The outside wall of the house is polished to a perfectly smooth finish and painted yellow with an orange stripe running around the entire house. You stop for a moment to contemplate the theme of curves, the artwork, the walls, the homes. You wonder what this roundness must have symbolized to the Shona people. An intricately carved wooden door stands open at the front of one house. You step through the doorway and wait a moment for your eyes to adjust to the lower light inside. Slowly, you begin to see images of the jungle and animals painted across the walls in vivid colors. The mural wraps completely around the inside wall of the house in a continuous moving picture. Above you, wooden beams slant upward into a point, creating the cone shape of the roof. Along one side of the house is a fireplace. Coals crackle inside from the midday cooking fire. On the other side is a long platform covered in blankets, furs and bedding. In the center of the floor is a low table set with fine china. When you began this adventure, you never expected to see Chinese goods here in southern Africa. But then again, expectations often don't pan out, you think, with a grin. You take a seat at the table and think about the wonders of the day. Industrious people, the massive walls, and the myriad of art. It's truly a spectacular time and place in human story. The soft pillow beneath you is a welcome treat. You can't resist laying back for a moment, closing your eyes. You feel yourself drifting back through the seams of time. When you open your eyes again, you are back into the library of time, supported by the jungle green chair. The leopard print book lays closed in your lap. You place it on the table next to you and reach up to turn off the reading lamp. You lay your head back and close your eyes once again. But this time, you drift comfortably off to sleep with memories of Great Zimbabwe floating through your mind.